Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is New York State Senator Tony Avella. And Senator Avella is going to talk about, you know, his projections of what's going to happen in this coming session, and also talk about his aspirations for another office. So, Senator Avella, what will happen as far as, you know, legislation this year that you can envision?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. Appreciate the opportunity to discuss these issues with your listeners. So obviously, you know, ethics reform will still be a major proponent of what we do. The governor is proposing a whole host of ethics reform. But the main topic this year, I think, will be raise the age of 16 and 17-year-olds for nonviolent offenders. Because right now, they're sent to criminal court. They could go to prison. And some of these cases, clearly, you know, 16-year-old should not be sent to, like, Sing Sing for a nonviolent offense. So that's going to be one of the major topics this year. And I think it's something that we really need to do. We're only one of two states in the entire country that still considers 16 and 17-year-olds for nonviolent offenses as criminals. So that's something that we're already talking about. I'm actually going to chair a hearing with Senator Gallivan pretty soon in the Senate, asking advocates to come and talk about this issue. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll make a major change this year.
When you talk about nonviolent offenders, are you talking about like marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, anything that doesn't include sort of physical violence against another. But that's part of what we're going to be working out is what is the definition of nonviolent offenses. I recently had the opportunity to actually visit Sing Sing. And the correction officers were careful that I wouldn't be exposed to certain areas of the prison for my own safety and well-being. And, you know, having done that, I thought, well, if they're worried about me as an adult for a one-time visit of a couple of hours, imagine what type of impact that scenario would have on a young 16-year-old. Because we want to make sure that if, you know, minor offenses, nonviolent offenses, that they be given to rehabilitate themselves. And sometimes when you send them to be mixed with hardened criminals, you do the reverse, and they themselves then become hardened criminals.
What is the makeup of the state Senate? Are the Republicans still in the majority?
Yes, the Republicans have 31 members, and you need 32 for a majority. But there's a Democratic Senator, Simca Felder from Brooklyn, who sits with the Republican conference and votes with them and gives them the 32 majority. I'm a member of the Independent Democratic Conference. We have a working coalition with them, but we don't conference with them. And we only vote with them when it's appropriate. I still vote the same way as I've done it as a Democratic senator, throughout my career. So the Republicans with Simca Felder have the majority. They're in total control. But the IDC, the Independent Democratic Conference, we have the ability by working with them, not necessarily voting with them or conferencing with them, to get some pieces of legislation onto the floor that would not normally come if we didn't have this relationship with the Republican conference. And that's important because we've been able to do things like last year, like paid family leave, increasing the minimum wage, which if it wasn't for the Independent Democratic Conference, probably would not have come to the floor for a vote.
Now, you recently joined the IDC. It was just a couple of years ago. Do you find that you've been more successful in pushing your legislation with the IDC than you were with the mainstream Democrats?
Oh, without question. The difference is enormous. Unfortunately, the Democratic Conference had, and in my opinion, probably still has, no plan for action. It's more of what I call this reactionary politics. So when the Republicans are in control, the Democrats attack them. When the Democrats are in control, the Republicans attack them. That's not how we need to do business. We need to work together to get things done. We're not always going to agree, but on those issues where we can reach a compromise, it's very important. And that's what the IDC affords me to. I'll give you an example. Last year, in 2016, the legislative session, I was able to pass 50 bills in the Senate, which was the most of any Democratic senator in the entire state, 13 of which also passed the Assembly, and all 13 were signed into law by the governor. Many of those bills I would not have been able to bring to the – probably any of those bills I would not have been able to bring to the floor had I not been part of the Independent Democratic Conference. And again, I still vote the same way when I was in the regular Democratic Conference as in the Independent Democratic Conference. I haven't changed my positions one iota. But as long as I can keep my – I don't change my position, I still vote the same way. Why not be in a position to try and get things done?
You say Senator Felder is the person who holds the edge. If people want specific legislation, would they contact his office?
Well, you can contact – listen, it depends upon the type of legislation. You can contact any Republican who's in the majority, you can contact CFFL, or they can contact the Independent Democratic Conference. Remember, we have influence, we can bring things to the floor if the Republican Conference will let us. And there were some things that they've let us, which if we didn't have this relationship, they would not have brought to the floor, period. So I would still encourage members, residents to call the Republican Conference or the Independent Democratic Conference, or any senator that they think is appropriate. They should just realize that you need to have a member of the majority or the majority coalition. It's easier to get something passed in the Senate. And the same thing applies in the Assembly. If you want a bill passed in the Assembly, you should basically go to the Democratic majority. If you go to the Republican minority to introduce a bill in the Assembly, it's almost impossible to get a bill passed.
Right.
And that's why a Democratic Assembly member most likely will reach out to a Republican senator to get a bill passed in the Senate. So, sometimes the argument is made, the IDC should rejoin the Democratic Conference. Why do Democratic Assembly members work with Republican senators? It's the same issue. It's basically just trying to work with each other to get things done.
I want to talk about two specific issues. One you've been a proponent of for a number of years, and that's fracking. There's still fracking waste.
You mean an opponent, not a proponent. an opponent of hydrofracking.
I'm so sorry. You have been against it all along, and you have also been against the dumping from other states, the waste into New York State. That's still allowed. What's it going to take for the Senate to pass that bill?
Well, as you correctly mentioned, I actually led the fight in the legislature against hydrofracking, and thank goodness we were able to convince the governor not to allow it, and that's where it stands. A number of people are very concerned with the President Trump on some of his statements relating to pro-hydrofracking. But I think your listeners should know President Obama was pro-hydrofracking. So we'll have to see how, President Trump, if he decides to do more than President Obama did. But you do bring up this interesting point. Even though we are not allow hydrofracking to occur in the state, we still allow the import of the hydrofracking waste from Pennsylvania to come into the state and be dumped in some of our landfills and also to be used as a de-icer on some of our roadways. I introduced a bill to stop that, Unfortunately, that's one of the bills that the Republican majority will not allow to come to the floor. Because I think, you know, if we've acknowledged here in New York State that hydrofracking is too hazardous to the public health to allow, why are we then allowing the waste material in? It doesn't make any sense. But unfortunately, so far, I have not been able to get the Republican majority to bring that bill to the floor. Because it was brought to the floor, it will certainly pass.
Why has the Republican majority refused to bring that to the floor?
Well, historically, the Republicans have been in favor of hydrofracking in the state of New York. So they resist any attempt to put any restrictions on whether it's the import or even allowing hydrofracking in the state. Because I still have the bill, even though the governor, you know, has stated we're not allowing hydrofracking. I still have the bill to ban it, period. And I'd always like to bring that bill to the floor to end any future discussion about allowing it at some point in, you know, obviously in the future. So any bill that relates to restricting the use of hydrofracking or the waste material, the Republican majority just is not allowed to come to the floor. I don't think it makes any sense, but they believe, and I believe it's a mistaken belief, that hydrofracking creates jobs. And I think the experience in Pennsylvania and other places is that the few jobs that it does create are temporary in nature, and the negative aspects far outweigh any small positive temporary jobs.
There's some journalists that are still proposing it and say that because hydrofracking is not allowed, that the seventh tier has been allowed to just not prosper.
Well, there's no question that the southern tier needs economic revitalization. That's a given. But that doesn't mean we allow hydrofracking to do that. I think the governor, you know, recognizes southern tier needs help. And I think, if I remember correctly, he may have some things in the budget this year about it. But that's something that we must all work together in the state, whether you're from downstate or upstate, to help them. But allowing hydrofracking to address that issue is the wrong approach.
The other legislation I'd like to talk about, and it's been brought up year after year, that's the Child Victims Act, and it seems it passes the Assembly every year, but it's never been passed in the Senate. At some point, do you expect that bill to be passed?
That, you know, every year, and by the way, I have the Senate version of the bill that the Assembly has passed. So I have the bill in the Senate for the Child Product Safety Act. I just do not understand why we cannot pass a bill that would eliminate very hazardous toxic chemicals from children's toys. That should be done. We've been fighting this battle now for the last 3 to 4 years. Unfortunately, there are a number of Republican senators who oppose it because it would place restrictions on certain businesses and the economy, and it would be, you know, their opinion is be loss of jobs. But those who support this legislation do not agree, and certainly that child safety and health is paramount. So I don't know what to tell you. We almost had an agreement a couple of years ago. I think the number of chemicals is around 50 that we have in the original bill. We almost had an agreement to reduce it to like 10 or 20. And then I thought it was going to get passed 2 years ago. And then one of the environmental groups, environmental advocates, did something which I thought was horrendous. They deliberately, sabotaged the negotiations and said, we have to have the original 50. It's nothing. It's that or nothing. And they sabotaged the compromise that was in the works. And, you know, we could have always, whatever we could have gotten accomplished, whether it was 10 chemicals or 20 chemicals, we should have gotten that done. We could always come back the next year and try to do the remainder. But what they did was outrageous, and it's, to this day, I have not had any communications with that group because I have just lost total faith in that organization.
And the child sexual abuse, a lot of children cannot, or as young adults and adults, cannot get their day in court. Would you be in favor of legislation that would see that anybody who was abused will have their day in court?
This is, this is a very complicated issue. The discussion has gone on every year. It focuses on the legislation, the current legislation that most people are talking about was only for private schools, not public schools. And some of us were saying, well, why not include public school? I mean, the other issue, it goes to the length by which you can go back. There's a the term, and I'm forgetting the term, the legal term, is how far you can look back and be able to bring a case. That's where it is. And because, like, the houses of worship, the different religious institutions are worried about the financial implications about going back 20 and 30 years. They can sit there every year. There's a discussion about this, and there is a willingness to do something. There just hasn't been an agreement yet. And I think everybody has to compromise a little bit to get something done. It's another perfect example of sometimes you can't get everything you want in legislation, but why aren't we sitting together and coming up something that's better than the system that we have now?
Now, aside from the fact that you're in the New York State Senate, you have, according to the newspaper, aspirations to run for mayor of the city of New York. Is that still on your mind?
Oh, I've already announced that I am a candidate for the Democratic nomination for mayor of the city of New York. So I will be opposing the incumbent mayor, Bill de Blasio. I think the administration in the city of New York has done a terrible job. And I've always, before I was elected to the Senate, the state legislature, I was a member of the New York City Council. I previously worked for two mayors, Koch and Dinkins, so I know the city. I know how it should operate, and I think the current mayor is doing a terrible job. So I am running. If any of your listeners want to help out or help donate to the campaign, my website is avellaformayor.com.
How many have declared so far? Just you?
I am the highest profile candidate that has declared. There are a few other minor candidates, but so far any other major players have not announced. A number of names are being kicked around, but it's well within the realm of possibilities that I will be the highest profile candidate to run against the mayor.
Now, is there still talk of Hillary Clinton running for mayor?
No. Well, there's talk about it, but from what I understand, and I don't know how true it is, that some of his staff have said that she's not going to do that. I think it goes down to the fact that a lot of names being tossed around because people, the last poll I saw showed that the mayor was getting less than 50% approval rate. And, a significant percentage do not want him to get a second term. So I think people are looking around for possible candidates to make sure that he doesn't win again. So a lot of names are out there. But at the end of the day, again, I am the highest ranking elected official to officially announce that I am running.
Why is he so unpopular?
Because he's doing a terrible job, in my opinion. It's very simple. I could spend an entire day talking to you about issues, one of which is how he's dealt with the homeless issue. There are now more homeless people in the city of New York than ever. It's estimated, even months ago, it was like 62,000. Now people are talking about 72,000 of homeless families and individuals on the street on any one given night. I mean, that's unbelievable. And all the mayor is doing is trying to house them in hotels and motels across the city. in locations that often violate city regulations, in locations that where the hotels and motels actually have building violations, and just dumping these people, not giving them any dignity, and at the same time, not giving them the services that they need, whether it's to get a job, maybe they have some substance abuse issues, maybe they have some mental health issues, not giving them the services. So we're not helping them. And I think that's one of the major issues that people are looking for a change in the city administration. More has to be done. And then he always has constant fights with the governor, which is not absolutely not helpful.
Do you that's an ongoing feud? Do you think that feud is hurting de Blasio or Cuomo more?
Well, from my perspective, I put the blame on de Blasio. The governor was elected not only to run the state, but also New York City. New York City is part of the state, and I don't think de Blasio gets that. And I think he's picked fights just for the sake of he thinks he's more important than everybody else. So, and the city, the mayor of the city of New York needs to get along with the governor. And the city cannot survive without help from the state or help from the federal government. So are you going to agree on every issue? No, of course not. But you need to have a working relationship. And the mayor has done a very poor job in that respect.
Let's say you did run and you did win. Do you think you would have a good relationship with Governor Cuomo?
Yes, I have a good relationship with him now. And, we don't necessarily agree on everything, but we talk about it and we reach a compromise. And he's being responsive to the needs of my district and I think the state. You're the governor. You still have to work with the legislature, both the Senate and the Assembly. So it's a matter of compromise. But I think the governor is doing a good job, and I think I have a good relationship with him. And I would certainly continue that relationship if I was fortunate enough to be elected the mayor of the city of New York.
If you continue to pursue your aspirations to run for mayor and Hillary Clinton threw her hat in the ring, would you step aside?
I said, one of the newspapers speculated that if Hillary ran, even the mayor couldn't run for re-election. So that would be a totally different ballgame. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so, Senator, share your website and your contact information for your mayoral race again.
Well, thank you. It's Avella. ForMayor.com, Avella, A-V-E, V as in Vincent, E-L-L-A, ForMayor.com. And they can also reach me at Gmail. It's AvellaForMayor@gmail.com. So, I'd appreciate everybody's help. I'm not taking money from the big donors. I'm looking, for average New Yorkers to help. So I appreciate you allowing me to say that.
Thank you, Senator. And I'm sure we will talk again over the coming months. So you have
Great.
Been listening to State Senator Tony Avella. This is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.